He knew I was growing sicker and weaker with each passing moment. A strange mixture. Upon reaching my room, he quickly administered a dose of powder which he stirred into a glass of water and which he had mixed before leaving the university where he was studying. As a medical student, he had access to medical supplies. He did not tell me the contents of the vial because he did not know. He claimed he was instructed to mix this substance and bring it with him to Mainz. I swallowed the contents of the glass and fell into a deep sleep. Yet I was keenly aware that I was not alone in this experience. Upon awakening, the pain and discomfort had vanished. I reached for a glass of water which was on the nightstand and slowly sipped some. It felt good and cool, all the way down into my stomach. Within a matter of moments, the telephone rang. It was Valthor calling from Switzerland. His words sounded very mellow yet stern. He said, "Frank, how many times have I cautioned you to be very careful with whom you meet?" 60. He continued, "There are many, many lessons to be learned and oftentimes, they are painful. However, I am certain that you gained from this experience. Please exercise extreme care." Val stated that there were, in fact, men in black, not just in dress but in motive and in heart. He said he would elaborate later when we could meet in person in the United States. He also added that several of his people would be watching us for the duration of our European trip. Forces of darkness. Following a cleansing of my system, I felt like a newborn babe. Conversations that I had enjoyed with Val in the past were streaming into my thinking. He made mention at one time that not all space beings were of God, that there were some motivated by the forces of darkness and that additional information would be given to me at a later time. I was then to learn the meaning of those words. That in the beginning when there was war in the heavenlies, Lucifer and his crew had been cast down into the earth. The only power they lost was that of being in the presence of the Divine Creator. And Lucifer was still permitted to travel through a small corridor into the presence of God where to this day he attempts to accuse the saints. Val informed me of many things regarding these angels. He told me that it is important for all men and women who are children of true light to learn the art of spiritual as well as mental self-defense. When I returned to the convention hall, all was ready for my presentation. The audience response was warm and friendly as they listened with interest, desirous to learn their truth about space, science and true religion. The following day, inquiry was made and we were not too amazed to learn that the Italian magazine had no knowledge of the two who claimed to represent them at the convention. Many years ago, I gave my life over to Jesus Christ and I knew that in years to come, many revelations would be given me for the purpose of showing the way to others. However, the way would not be easy. But then again, it would be fruitful because of the fact that there are many blessings for those who dare to walk out of step from the rest of the crowd as one's ears become attuned to the beat of the distant drummer. Another experience, another warning. Another time to prove that God is with us and that there is help available to those who dare to believe. However, the best was still to come. Chapter 4. Welcome aboard. June 5, 1968, will go down in history as a day when many were born, successful business deals were signed and sealed, some may even have lost their shirts on a deal gone sour. It will be remembered as the date of a beautiful wedding. A testimonial dinner, a divorce, an accident and perhaps even a black spot for the family, the loss of a loved one. A father, brother, mother, sister, son or daughter, or a government official. Namely, the death of Robert Kennedy. A case of lack of security, a lack of caution, a disregard of a solemn warning. I cannot give a detailed account of what actually took place that fateful day at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. But suffice it to say that the authorities who were in charge of the investigation know more than what was admitted to the press. Reports have surfaced in recent years regarding the removal of certain pieces of door and frame in the immediate area. Crucial pieces of evidence have come up missing. But let us go back to that morning, a phone call, an airplane flight to San Diego, California. I was contacted by Val, who instructed me to meet him at the San Diego airport. He ushered me to the parking lot where we got into his car and drove toward the Mexican border. Little did I realize that this particular trip was to be one of many that would increase my understanding of this one called Valthor and his mission to this planet. During the drive to the border, we discussed a few items of interest. He made it a point to call out the names of various of my closest associates who were involved in helping me to spread the truth in every corner possible. We pulled up to the border crossing, were greeted by the 67 border guards on either side of the car, then proceeded to drive south for many miles to a small town called San Felipe, Sonora, Mexico. Few people were walking the dusty streets. A few American tourists were making their way toward the restaurant that featured seafood. San Felipe is a coastal town almost surrounded by water. It is a very quiet place to come for a rest ... and perhaps some fishing. However, we were not there for any of those reasons. Val parked the car in the parking area directly behind the restaurant. Then we started to climb over a few rocks and found ourselves walking along the beach, out of sight from the restaurant. The small shacks that housed the townspeople could not be seen from where we were walking. We boarded a small boat, started the engine and began our ride. I still did not know where we were going. UFO on the water. Then I saw it. An actual, saucer-shaped vehicle was sitting on the water. I noticed a strange phenomena. The waves were gently rocking up our boat tied to the rough mooring, causing the boat to rise and fall. However, I noticed that the spacecraft did not move. I was to be informed later that the ship was equipped with a pencil fine beam that, when fixed on any solid object, kept the ship from moving even 1 degree from that fixed position. As we neared the ship, it glistened in the light of the sun that was beautifully setting, rapidly. We sailed close to the craft with the motor cut off. Then an aperture opened, revealing two smiling faces. One man and one woman greeted me by name, took my hand, lifted me into the ship and then reached down for Val. A 68. Short time later, the small power craft was also raised aboard and stowed in a compartment where a much larger power craft was also seen. My first impression was one of great exhilaration mingled with joy and excitement. I had read from time to time true accounts that had changed the lives of other UFO researchers and investigators. I have read many books that carefully outlined the experiences of those who had experienced actual space contact. But now it was different. It was happening to me. I remembered how my colleagues in the Christian ministry looked with disdain upon anyone who would dare relate incidents about space people, space vehicles and such. But now I found myself caring less what anyone would possibly think of me because of my own experiences. I was there. Purifying sensation. I was ushered by these wonderful people to a room where I was requested to completely disrobe. I did so without question. I then walked through a compartment that resembled a shower, only without the water. I felt a purifying sensation all over my body. I no longer required my eyeglasses to see. This is another phenomena on board a ship that was quite unscientific. I felt extremely good in body, soul and spirit. After walking through the shower compartment, I was issued a white outfit that resembled what we would call overalls. The fabric was lightweight, just as Val's garment had been when he showed it to me at the Pentagon. However, it was a different fabric than his. Their boots were tight, fitting, while mine were loose. I was then directed toward the door and was accompanied by a lovely woman called Teal to Val's quarters. During my several hours aboard the craft, I was to encounter many wonders that were so scientifically simple that I could hardly believe it. There were a series of buttons on the wall and Val pushed one of them. Suddenly one section of the wall became transparent and the scene outside was in full view. This occurrence would happen many times again, even when we would be traveling in one of his small craft. This was quite unnerving at first because your mind simply does not have any point of reference for this type of experience. It took a long time for me to get used to this. In fact, It still amazes me to such an extent that I don't think I will ever be used to it. Kennedy assassination. Val's compartment was quite spacious, comfortable and done in a light color decor with a master screen at eye level. Making me comfortable, he started to give me an insight into phases of my UFO investigation that I had never explored personally. This information, on such subjects as their Hollow Earth theory, the black hole mystery, the Bermuda Triangle, etc., would be revealed in my later writings and audio recordings. He also informed me that Bobby Kennedy and he had met in the Los Angeles area shortly after I delivered Mr. Kennedy's letter to Val. He informed me that his first impression of Mr. Kennedy was that he was a very nervous and suspicious man, but that he was also a man who should not be crossed, politically. Val went on to relate just a brief report of his meeting. However, he did point out that he did not believe that Bobby was going to heed his advice. A look of sorrow came over Val's face. I had never seen this expression before. As the evening wore on, we had assembled in a large room where the VSCOPE had tuned into a certain hotel, the Ambassador, in Los Angeles, California. There was much commotion, excitement and confusion in the scene. There were approximately 55 crew present for the viewing. I was made to understand that the same scene was being transmitted throughout the ship for all to see and hear the tragic event that was to occur. Val stated that he had been queried by Mr. Kennedy as to his chances for the presidency, to which Val had replied, "Mr. Kennedy, 4 years from now, you would stand an excellent chance of winning. But, I beg you to remain far away from the political race this year." This, he repeated to him several times. Val was very concerned and so were the members of his immediate staff. Tension grew as we saw Mr. Kennedy walking, pressing through the crowd. Val then said, "God, help him." Suddenly, several shots rang out and it appeared that all hell had cut loose. Val did not move from his seat. Teal jumped up and said, "If only he had listened." Many of his followers, including Rosie Grier, attempted to shield the body of Mr. Kennedy from further abuse, but it was too late. Shots rang out again and in the confusion, one bullet found its mark. Mr. Kennedy was down on the floor while many shouted and screamed and still others began to attack Sirhan Sirhan. 72. The investigation that ensued was similar to that of the late President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, and was covered up in like manner. Someday, the entire truth may come out. Val and the group watched with grave concern. Following the removal of Mr. Kennedy from the hotel, the safety was turned off in Val's quarters. He looked directly at me and said, "Frank, it is impossible to go through life without maintaining the covering of the protection of Almighty God. We are protected by His divine power while you, Frank, must depend upon the help and protection of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Frank, it is not only important but also necessary to your own spiritual well-being to contain this protection every day of your own life. You have an important mission to accomplish on this planet and you will come against the very powers of Lucifer himself because you pose a direct threat to his kingdom. Practice the presence of Christ and walk in his divine presence. We will do what we can to help you but you must be the one to make the decisions. If you make a wrong or erroneous decision, learn by that mistake and then go on into the perfection that your Lord Jesus Christ has foreordained for you and others that will set you apart from and above those who are involved in the works of darkness." An alien dinner. With that, we went to an area where several members of the crew were eating and drinking. I was able to enjoy food and drink that did not originate on this planet. The food was of high protein value and the drink, green in color, tasted very similar to papaya. It was very refreshing. Val informed me that from time to time, I would be invited to return to the ship in order to cleanse my system and to take part in discussions with others regarding world affairs. Following that brief session, I was given a guided tour of the ship by Val and Teal. It was interesting to note that there were no square corners on the ship whatever. The one area that fascinated me most was the auditorium. It was here that the crew was briefed each day, but only after the morning worship service. They worship the same God as I and recognize Christ as being the Son of God who came to this planet Earth for the purpose of winning the human family back to the Eternal Father. Val said in one of his talks that God was no respecter of persons and would reveal his eternal truths to whom would receive them. Advanced technology. Later I was shown to my own guest quarters, which were quite unique. Again, no square corners. The color was pale blue, made even softer by the indirect lighting which appeared to come from the ceiling. Walking across the floor was like standing in the thickest, puffiest clouds you can imagine. It seemed to fit the form of your foot as you walked. The room actually looked quite bare when you first walked in. Everything to serve your needs was located in the wall, and with the push of a button, it was at your service. The bed, the desk, all at your fingertips. A screen was visible in the wall at eye level as you sat in the chair provided for your complete comfort. One amusing incident occurred when the needs of nature had to be attended. I went into the bathroom and was embarrassed to note the obvious absence of toilet tissue. Then it happened. I heard a voice within my mind which I immediately recognized as belonging to Val. He said, "Frank, look to your right. You will find three buttons. Push the first, then the second and then the third, in that order." I could hear Teal's laugh as I proceeded to press the first button. The sensation was that of a rapid warm wind similar to a jet of air, blowing beneath the seat. The process entirely crystallized the waste matters and caused it to drop from me. Then the second button was another jet blast of a different pressure and temperature. Finally, the third button. This produced a pleasant, fragrant substance that made me feel as though I had been washed, cleaned, powdered and perfumed. As I came out of the bathroom, no one paid any attention to me, although I had a strong feeling that everybody in the room knew what had happened. Suddenly Teal broke the silence by saying, "Well, do you want to take one home with you?" A few of them laughed and went on about their business. After meeting privately with Val, I proceeded to sleep for a few hours, and in the morning, Val drove me back to San Diego, where I again boarded a plane, this time bound for Los Angeles. I pondered the events which had taken place during the past day. My heart skipped a beat as the thrill of the blessings I had been chosen to receive began to register in my mind, and sadness continued to overshadow my soul as I recalled witnessing the life of Robert Kennedy snuffed out in an instant. I now knew without question that the time was here to begin letting the world know that truly we are not alone in the universe, and that God did not confine his acts of creating life as we know it to this, the third planet from the sun day. George Stockton took this shot in NJ, Commander. A very long time ago, Commander Val was an instructor, at what we would consider a university level, on Venus. Bear in mind that he is one of those beings who was directly created by the hand of Almighty God himself. There are times when one such as Val will elect to attach himself to parents of other children, usually because there is a kinship of thoughts and ideas that together they can perpetuate the glory of Almighty God throughout the universe. Therefore, Val is considered one who was created by the Father, yet not in as high a position as Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to earth as the very embodiment of the Creator of creators. Val is in a special class by himself, yet, because of a desire to be a part of a special Venusian family, he has also taken upon himself the pleasure of having a ready-made family, namely, Don, Thon and Doc. These are all fellow members of the Thor family. In the beginning, Val was called Valiant after attaching himself to the family, he then adopted their name Thor. The land of Quello. Following the creation of the Earth, there was a period of time during which the Creator brought into existence several other creations. One of the most popular was the creation of the land and people of Quello. This was a marvelous creation accompanied by many, many developments that attested to the creativity and imagination of man. But, as the story goes, this awesome power went to their heads, and they immediately, with the help of Lucifer, placed themselves in a self-destruct position. they defied all of the perfect laws of God, violated his perfect will as well as the laws governing their own society. Consequently, they were banished from the face of the earth. Almighty God then proceeded to create another man on the surface of this planet. Commander Val bore witness to these amazing events and volunteered to observe the earth in order to gain a closer look at what was transpiring there. However, much time passed before Commander Val was permitted to personally visit Earth. He continued to advance and soon became an instructor. Teaching the young people the mysteries of the universe gave him great joy, yet he still longed for something more. When he was a younger man, Val was performing what would be considered to be menial tasks that to him were not too important. He prayed and meditated for many days without ceasing. Although he felt within himself that someday he would be a starship commander, he grew impatient. One day, while walking along the shores of one of the most beautiful bodies of water within the confines of Venus, an amazing yet wonderful event took place that was to change his life forever and fulfill his fondest dream. Ring of Fire. Suddenly, without warning, from out of the crystal lake, a finger of fire rose from the waters, thus revealing the hand and then a full-length arm. It was pointed directly at Val. He remained motionless as the fiery finger touched his lips. He heard what he describes as a majestic voice saying to him, "Valiant, you have been created for a divine purpose. Your lips will speak words of wisdom, understanding and knowledge to people on a faraway planet. Let your heart be filled with the expectation that very soon you will be sent to accomplish the most important task for which you have been prepared." Commander Val told me that he then felt the power of Almighty God not only flooding his soul, but cloaking him with supernatural power that originated from the Father. Within days, he met face to face with Jesus Christ. This took place during a special time of worship and praise that raised the consciousness of the people to a much higher level than ever before. A flame of fire filled the temple and small tongues of fire sat upon everyone in attendance. The Master summoned Val to the platform. A special robe of power and authority was placed around his shoulders. The flame of fire continued to rest upon his head. The Master placed his divine hand upon Val's head and a blessing was pronounced upon him. The power of the Almighty was so great that many witnessing the sight fell to the floor in adoration. Val's mission was completely spelled out to him before many thousands of witnesses. Then Val knew that the task of bringing light to the planet Earth was inevitable. While the Master concluded the ceremony, Val was instructed to remain on the platform. The Master placed his divine arms around Val and charged him with the task that lay before him. Within a brief time, the Master announced a special Ring of Fire ceremony that was to be performed by Val and others before they would set foot on the planet Earth. This ring of fire would protect him and all the others permitted to serve with him. Their mission was under their direct guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ and remains so to this day. Appointed Commander. Following this experience, Val accepted the appointment as commander and the assignment to travel to Earth to do all within his power to carry out the divine instructions and establish bases on Earth in order to implement the aims and purposes of his appointment. To this day, Val travels back and forth to Venus and is still in command of the Venusians who have been assigned to this planet. It was only a few short years ago that he felt the time had become right to share this Ring of Fire ceremony and prayers with the members of our association. Brightly lit object rests on Lake Ontario while another UFO shoots across the sky. Chapter 6. The Airport Attack. As a researcher and investigator of unidentified flying objects, I have been swamped with information coming from various parts of the world regarding a phase of UFO research that is avoided by many. That phase involves a certain group called Men in Black. A number of researchers over the years have met with unusual accidents while investigating UFO accounts. Several have even met with untimely death under mysterious circumstances. We cannot afford to ignore the fact that there are forces of darkness surrounding this planet. I have encountered many obstacles during my research that would tend to discourage me rather than encourage me. This is but one of the aspects of UFO research about which Val taught me. The Men in Black. One afternoon in January, 1974, I was summoned for a meeting with Val and several of his people on the outskirts of Las Vegas, Nevada. The sun had started to descend behind the mountains as my plane taxied to the ramp. I noticed the unhappy faces of those who had left their donations to the welfare of Las Vegas. I noticed two young men, attired in tight-fitting black outfits, waving to me. Calling me by name, I thought them to be friends of Val. One of them took my briefcase and I was instructed to follow them to a black Cadillac parked at the curb. Another man, also dressed in black, was sitting behind the wheel. This did not strike me as odd because many limousine drivers wear similar uniforms. I was invited to sit in the rear by one of the men who had already climbed into the back seat. The second man sat on the right of me. The smell of cigars should have tipped me off. However, the excitement of seeing Val again superseded my caution. Space people do not smoke and are never around people who do. I should have known then that something was radically wrong. An uneasy feeling came over me as the Cadillac pulled away from the curb. I saw red lights and heard warning bells inside my head. There was no further conversation until we pulled over to the side of the road several blocks away from the airport. The gentleman to my right said, "Get out." He proceeded to exit the car and my heart was pounding at such a rapid rate that I thought it would burst. As I stooped to get out of the car, the man behind me must have braced himself against the side of the door and planted his feet with a firm shove directly against my kidneys. I was sent sprawling to the desert floor, face full of sand, and immediately pounced upon by the duo, calling upon the Lord. I remembered some of my martial arts study and quickly rolled out of their way for a few seconds and sprang to my feet. It was then that I struck back at them, at the same time calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many passive Christians who read this narrative will most likely be horrified when they learn that I dared to lift my hand in self-protection. I defended myself to the best of my ability. Again, I was thrown to the ground and kicked over and over again. My glasses were smashed, but I could see well enough to get back on my feet and land a direct hit in the face of one of my attackers. I heard the crunch of broken cartilage while at the same time noticing that my hand was a bloody mess. Meanwhile, the driver came rushing to the scene and plowed into the thick of battle. I caught him in the stomach with my right foot while lashing out again at the other two. Suddenly, a white Cadillac pulled in front of where the black one was parked. Two men rushed to my aid and I knew without any necessary introductions that these were the men whom I was supposed to have met at the airport. Cars continued to pass by, some slowing down to look and continuing on their way. The two men in silvery outfits attacked the trio to the point that they were immediately subdued. Without warning, the driver of the black Cadillac ran to his car and jumped behind the wheel. With his arm outstretched, Don, one of the men from Val's spacecraft, melted the two rear tires. This vehicle was not going anywhere now. Don then proceeded to reach through the glass, without breaking it, and pull the driver through the window, throwing him back on the ground with the other two. I was instructed to get into the white Cadillac and I quickly obeyed. My two rescuers also got in, but not before one of them reached into the trunk of the black cab to remove my briefcase without using a key. We proceeded a short distance. Don stopped our car, got out and slowly walked to the rear. He gestured with both hands toward the black car and within a matter of seconds, the car and the three men who were prostrate on the desert floor utterly vanished. There was no trace of the occurrence except for the disturbed sand and the rubber that had melted and run like water. Upon returning to the car, Don anticipated my question of their new whereabouts. "Displaced," he replied, "Frank, let's just say that they are now displaced." The car started again and we proceeded toward Henderson, Nevada. The conversation and atmosphere inside the car were enlightening, to put it mildly. My companion in the back seat, I was to learn later, was Thon, the brother of Don, who is, in turn, Valthor's brother. We had a pleasant conversation, even though my right hand was still bleeding and the rest of my body felt like I had been struck by a Mack truck. Thon reached into his pocket and showed me my wallet that had fallen out during the encounter.